The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants, and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants, so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one they also wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. In our modern day and age, we live in a society and amongst people who have choices. Choices in every sort of thing. Yesterday, I was with my kids doing some shopping, and we stopped at Burger King. And there were choices. Too many choices for me. Too many choices for any of us to decide on what we wanted. It becomes a big hassle. You go to any kind of place, you go to get your oil change, you go to a restaurant, there are choices for everything. There are even choices in this day and age about what you want to believe, who you want to believe in, and how you want to practice whatever type of spirituality or religion that you are interested in. But this parable today smashes all element of choice in the face. Jesus is speaking about a parable with a man planting a vineyard and giving it to his tenants. And you know the story. He sends some servants to go and find some fruit, and three of them go, and they're beat up and they're sent away shamefully. And then finally he sends his beloved son, and they end up trying to kill him to get his inheritance. And while we know all of that, Jesus is speaking very directly to the chief priests and the Pharisees. They thought they had their own choice about what they could believe concerning the law of Moses, what they could believe about being the faithful people of God. They thought that they could make up their own way, believe in God how they want to believe in God, that they could somehow coexist with God with all of their laws and all of their tormenting of the people with these laws, with all the corruption and everything else. And Jesus calls them out on the carpet with this parable today. When they heard this, it says, they looked at Jesus and said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken into pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is a baffling passage. It's a passage that I've been looking at all week and still trying to figure out exactly what this all means. I've heard it several times before, but I think the reality is this, that no matter what you think about religion and religiosity or God, no matter what you think about Jesus, he will do one of two things to you. You will either fall because of him, or he will crush you. You will fall in a sense that you will fall down on your knees and be brought to repentance and die to yourself and die to all the choices and the things that you think that you are or the things that you think you can do on your own, the gods that you build up for yourself, including myself, in all of these things. Or in the end, he will crush you. He will condemn you. There is no gray with Jesus. There is no choice in the matter. He is saying very clearly to the Pharisees, to the church at large, it is either me or no one. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says later on. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one comes to the Father except by me. But in many ways, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. The church and its mission is always going to be at odds with the world. Jesus will always be at odds with the world. For countless years, the church has always struggled to grow and to bring people into Christ. And in many ways, we shouldn't be surprised about it, even today, because people want to have choices. People want to have different ways and thoughts and views about who God is and how God operates, even if there is a God. Paul even reminds us with Timothy, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. This parable seems a little over the top. It seems like nothing else that Jesus has talked about. It seems like he's really grinding their gears to a stop, saying to them, it is either me or it is no one. And that is what he is saying to us as well. And yet, amazingly, how do the people respond to Jesus? They don't fall down on their knees. They don't worship him and confess their sins. They look for a way to try to condemn him to death. They send out spies. They acted, as it said there, very interestingly enough. They pretended to be sincere, Luke says, that they might catch him in something that he says or does. Some things never change. This is the way it has always been with the people of Israel. This is the way it's always been with us even today. If they killed the prophets before Jesus, if they took Jesus to the cross, then what will they do for us in the 21st century? Hebrews chapter 11 speaks very clearly about this, about those who suffered all manners of evil against the gospel. They suffered mocking and scourging, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, and they went about still with the gospel of freedom on their lips, wandering over deserts and mountains, living in dens and caves of the earth, all so that they may speak of the light, of the truth, of the freedom that is found in Christ alone. And what happens today? The Christian church speaks of love and mercy and forgiveness. Christians are taught to pray for their enemies, to pray for those who persecute them. Christian churches throughout the time of this world have set up hospitals and schools to take care of those who are in need. We still provide in many ways to those who are destitute, those who are poor, those who are in need. And yet all the while we seem to continue to suffer for it. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Whether it was the prophets or Jesus himself, or we pastors in the church today, or you Christians out in the world today, make no mistake, we will be rejected. But it is not our rejection, it is not our suffering that we go through on our own. It is all about Christ. For ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh all want the Son of God dead, so that we somehow can take the inheritance and make it our own. But this is what is so amazing about all of this. Our sin, our rebellion against God, puts Jesus on the cross. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The rejected rock becomes the cornerstone and capstone to salvation. God takes the worst that the world can throw at him, the crucifixion and death of his own Son, and he makes it the ultimate good for you and for me. He makes it the salvation, the light, and the life of the world. And let's face it, we don't get all of this because we are so wrapped up in our own choices, our own decisions, our own thoughts, and our own ways. We don't see it in many ways. We don't see it even as important. We reject the word. We ignore history just as much as anybody else, whether or not hearing it or learning it or inwardly digesting it or even taking it to heart. We may despise the world. We may want the Son of God dead as well in our midst. But make no mistake. He goes to that cross willingly. And we hear, as we just sang, of that love that is unknown. Love that you would never make a choice in fulfilling. Love that you and I would never act on our own accord for somebody else. Love that looks upon you perfectly and willingly to give you everything, in body and soul, so that we may attain heaven itself, all when we even reject him. That is his grace. That is his love. That is his choice and his desire to suffer and to die for you. That's the whole twist of this parable. The death of the Son becomes the life of the world. The death of the Son grants you inheritance in God's kingdom. The death of the Son offers you forgiveness, life, salvation, and freedom. So in this life of choices, in the midst of all of the things that you have to decide upon each and every day in our busy lives, remember what takes place here. Remember what it is that God has done for you. And above all else, take care lest there be any of you in an evil or unbelieving heart that would lead you to fall away from the living God. But let us exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is written, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in rebellion. And so with that in mind, the church will press forward with the mission that it has been given to proclaim freedom to those who are captive, to proclaim light in a world of darkness, to proclaim that Christ has died for all, so that all who are in the midst of death may live. And we will press on toward the goal, the way the runner runs the race, not looking down at our feet, not looking over our shoulder as where we have been in the past, but always looking straight ahead to the finish line, to the prize, to what God has proclaimed to you on a dreary day where you've lost an hour of sleep and are trying to get through this life. Yours is the resurrection of the dead. Yours is eternal life. all because of Christ and what he has chosen to do for you. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise for the offertory.